Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh yeah, we are halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Hang on. A little something caught in my throat. Happy Monday, everybody.
Kendry Morales with a home run. Vladimir Guerrero had key hits along, along the way. And the Angels batting order.
Just fight through it.
Wore out the Red Sox pitching staff.
It's really a tough job when something happens like that. It really is. Something gets caught in your throat, and you have to time. You have to press on. You have to. And sometimes you need to stop, take a drink of water, and reset, which is what we will do right now here on Ben and Woods. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of this program. Benny is out. He is in Santa Barbara, and he will be heading back tomorrow. He looks like he's had a great, great time. Very peaceful. He sent us some pictures of a deer and the ranch and the meat and the breakfast buffet and the golf course. I believe he's playing today.
Yeah, it's an interesting trip that he takes every year. It's because I looked it up and I was curious about the facilities that they're at. Solvang Alisal Ranch.
Right.
And it looks like summer camp for families.
A family summer camp.
But it's not like they're like really nice like casitas. It's not like you're not in some crappy little cabin. It's everything is really, really nice as you would expect in the Santa Barbara area. But it's like there's a ropes course, there's archery, arts and crafts. Like it's like summer camp for adults or for families.
Like the fact that he hasn't sent us pictures of him on the rope course or pictures of riding him doing a horse. Archery, like all of it. That's what infuriates me the most about our beloved.
Like he sent us a video of the buffet line at breakfast every morning.
I've seen guys make pancakes before.
It's eggs and sausage. Fantastic. Like, yeah, get your ass on the ropes
get
course.
Get on the ropes course. Get that.
Go kayaking around the lake,
please.
Damn it.
Please, please, please. He's not going to. He played golf the other day. He's going to play golf today. That's exactly what he wants to do.
Ben's just sending us pics of his meat.
His meat. Just meat pick after meat pick. Well, he'll be back tomorrow. Excited to see him. Man, I got to tell you, Paul, you know, you do things as a parent out there, and maybe many can relate to this, that you're not proud of. You're just not proud of it. But sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures. I haven't told you this one.
I have no idea where you're going here.
So Saturday morning, we wake up and we head on out to the baseball fields because Taylor has a it's like a Padres T-ball camp. And one of the pitchers on the team we played yesterday, Tyler is his name. He wasn't at the game yesterday with us when we played, but his son and Taylor have gone to preschool together forever. They actually look like twins. And he's a great dude, man. Great coach. So we go out to the field, and I got to tell you, so the camp starts at 10. Paulie, we must have practiced baseball at home per his request from 6:30 a.m. till about 8:30. Dad, grounders, grounders. So we're throwing him, having a ball. So he gets in his uni. He's ready to go. Gets to the field. So many of his friends are there. Get the uniform. Put these cool, they had these cool Padres cream-colored uniforms. It was nice. So sick. Brown hats. So we get the hat on him. He goes, the hat, that doesn't fit. I can't see. And he melts down. And is crying. And he does not want to play.
Oh, no.
And all the other kids are there. All the other parents are there. And, Paulie, when I say, usually you can get him back after about 5 minutes of like, hey, buddy, it'll be okay. You just get out there and have some fun. No. 50 minutes of meltdown.
5-0.
5-0. Missed the first probably 45 minutes of the game practice that they did. And at this point, I'm looking at Hannah going, let's just go. And he's like, I want to go home. So I tried this move. I said, buddy, I love you. But this, you know, look, if you're going to quit, go tell the coach. Go tell Breaker's dad that you quit. I tried that. Like, I tried that move. I'm not going to go quit for you. If you really want to quit and go home, then quit. But you have to tell him. And I'm going to tell you, if you quit, quitting gets easier. And you don't want to be a quitter. But I want you to do it. He goes, he walks right over and he's like, I quit. And I'm like, damn it. So that backfired. Backfired immediately. So we walk outside.
Oh, Taylor.
I know. Just so difficult, man. So we walk out. We're not going to mess with the other kids and parents. Like, let them, all their kids are having fun playing the game. Kind of standing over by the bathrooms, trying to cajole him, trying to talk him into it. I'm offering bribes at this point. I'm like, buddy, go out and just go hit.
What are you bribing with? Screen time, money.
I said, I have money, baseball cards, screen time, all of it. And then after the bribes don't work, the threats. Right? So it's, dude, Taylor, come on, man. Like, you can go out there and do this. Hannah's right there with me. We are, like, crouched down, the two of us, just working him. And he didn't want to do it. And so finally, this is unbelievable. This is unreal. Our friend Jack, our mailman buddy in L.A., texted me. He goes, hey, man, I'm coming down to the Padres game. I got your birthday present. I want to bring it by for you. I go, well, I'm at the Ecke YMCA field. Stop by on your way down to Petco Park. It was early, and he was going to go down early. So as we're talking to Taylor, and I'm like, Taylor, I don't know what to – we're not going home, so we're going to stay. You can either go out and play with your friends, and then Hannah goes, or someone's going to take you, and they're going to take you and – you know, discipline you. All of a sudden, the timing. Jack, who's big dude, big long beard, long hair, starts walking towards us. And I go, oh, in fact, there he is. Taylor takes one look at Jack and Meryl, his girlfriend, walking up. And Taylor goes, okay, I'll do one. So I fill Jack in on it.
Jack's, now Jack's
like,
the muscle.
Jack is like the Gestapo coming to take him away. And I'm looking at Hannah. She's looking at me. We're looking at them. And Meryl goes, yeah, no problem. You come to our house. We get up really early. We'll have you cleaning. We'll have you doing all sorts of things. I've got a dog crate that you can sleep in and clean. He goes, okay, I'll do one. I'll go. Dude puts his jersey on. Runs onto the field. And Jack's just standing there like, oh my God, that actually worked. I'm like, I don't feel good about this. I do not feel good about this, Jack, threatening that you're going to take him away. And he goes, so he runs on the field. He's all grins and smiles. First time he gets in the field, kid smokes a ball. He catches it. Laser throw to first, one out. He's grinning.
He just had to get out there.
I'm clapping. Oh, yeah. He comes up his first AB. Wham! Slams one over everybody's head. Grinning from ear, bases loaded. He's grinning from ear to ear. I'm looking at Hannah going, we just dodged the most humiliating bullet. And that's all he needed was like the threat.
Next time he melts down, just get Jack on FaceTime.
He's the boogeyman, dude. Yes.
And be like, all right.
The boogeyman.
That is so funny.
So Jack's like, I'm now your family's boogeyman. I go, yeah, I'm going to don't make Jack come get you. I had one when I was a kid. There was some neighbors down the street that were beyond terrifying. I'll never forget it. They were the Reeves brothers. Paulie, and I mean, like, Camaros up on blocks in the yard. These dudes were like 14, smoking cigarettes, drinking out front. Like, they were the most scary family of all time. And I vividly remember my grandfather being like, if you're not good, I'm sending you down to the Reeves house. And I'm like, all right, I'll be good. But yeah, he was a full-on boogeyman for us. And again, you don't know how to handle it. When your kid is crying and screaming and melting down, my initial thing is like, let's just grab him and get him out of here. And then I'm like, what does that teach him? That teaches him that if he melts down, he is going to get his way. And then on the other hand is like, I don't want to threaten this dude do stuff. But after 50 minutes of think everything in the book, I was like, we're screwed. I mean, we are absolutely screwed here. I don't know, man. I don't know if I did the right thing or not. At the end of the day, he had a blast out there. He came off. He was so proud of himself for turning it around and then playing really well. And I said, hey, man, you got this next weekend. No problem going now, right? He goes, nope, I can't wait. And I was like, I guess it worked, but, you know, at what cost? The trauma of here's a boogeyman to come to come and take you. To stop him coming to take you. So
did you ever have to do that with Bo? The threat?
Bo would turn it around.
Turn it around quicker.
I mean, 20 minutes, but still that's 20 minutes of him kicking and screaming and torturing, you know, everybody around him. And eventually he would make the jump and go do it. But, oh, my God, dude, it was...
I think he just took advantage of the perfect timing. The timing the situation.
Was... I'll never... Like, him walking towards us, Taylor's standing there, me and Hannah crouched down, and I go, oh, look.
There he comes.
Here he comes. Until, oh, okay, I'll go one. I'll do one. I'll do one, he says, and runs out onto the field and has the time of his life.
Oh, so, God, that's funny.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, like Joanna says, call it a win. I will call it a win. I'm not proud of how we got to the win, but we don't complain about wins on this program, be it parental wins, be it Padres wins, or anything like that. What was the birthday present? So Jackie brought me.
I saw it.
So he brought me two. He brought me this really cool Oasis sweatshirt that's really rad, that I love very much. And then I told you guys a month or so ago, the day after he and I were in Joshua Tree together, I came home. He went to Tom Petty's estate sale in Hollywood, and they were selling off all of his stuff. And it's what they do, right? Yeah. And so Jack, he bought me, no joke.
Didn't he? You had your choice.
I had my choice of like,
what was the other?
An oven mitt, maybe, or something, or Tom Petty's griddle pan. So I brought, it was a cutting board. Yeah, cutting board and a griddle pan. And I picked the griddle pan. And if this SOB didn't show up holding this griddle pan that now sits in my kitchen, and I haven't used it yet. I was actually like, I was going to use it yesterday. I go, I don't want to use it. It's Tom Petty's. Like, that dude got up in the morning, walked in. I was like, anybody want pancakes? Tom Petty would make his pancakes right here. There was a little speck of food on there. I was like, this is Tom Petty.
So let's get to the point. Let's make another pancake.
He crushed. It was so cool. And I go, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but it's
that's amazing.
It's cool to know that I have it. One of our tier ones reached out, Quinn, and he goes, my mom is the world's biggest Tom Petty fan, and she gasped when I showed her
Instagram
picture. I go, it's so dumb, but I'm so happy I have it. So,
like a database for like celebrities that have left us and their estate sales? Because I'm just going to send Jack over and be like, hey, I need this, and this.
I mean, they were selling like everything. Jack actually bought for himself. Remember the old radios that you used to have to pop the face off of for anti-theft?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got Tom Petty's face.
The deck face?
The deck face. Yeah, yeah. He got it. And he goes, here's what's a trip. He goes, I'll just put it like up on my shelf, and nobody will know that it's Tom Petty's except mine, except me. And he said, but the cool thing is that like Tom Petty was driving around in his truck going, I don't like that song. Change the channel. Oh, this is one of my songs. I don't want to hear that. Change it. Turns the volume up. I said, I love it. I think it's a great thing to have. That's Tom Petty's musical, you know, window. Like, that's what he used to use. I thought it was cool. I'm very happy with the griddle pan and the sweatshirt, and very happy that I have now literally a new boogeyman to scare my children with. So, man, we still have a full show for you today. We are going to do Take on John next, because
so you're going to host.
I'm going to host this, which is going to be terrible, but that's fine. We have things that we need to give away. Because we got to keep the thing going. But John's very good, and he will stand in, and Tier 1 can call in right now at 833-288-0973. If you want to play John from KSON to try to, if you beat or tie Johnny, you'll qualify for a chance to win the grand prize, two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And, you can call in. If you beat him, you will qualify. Or tie him. We still have the gift cards, too?
No, that was just last week.
That was last week. Yeah. All right, we'll call in now, 833-288-0973, to take on John.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back, Better Woods 97.3. The Fan, me and Paulie, trying our best to hold it down this morning. You have to be a little bit malleable. You have to be able to maneuver. And so I thought today we would just do Take on John so we can keep the thing rolling, still trying to qualify people for the Take on Woods Vegas Grand Prize. Got Dennis Lynn coming up at 8:35 this morning as well. But now it's time for Take on John. You guys know how the game works, right? 5 seconds or five songs, musical trivia, 60 seconds. Who's on the line with us, Paulie?
I believe this is Andres.
Andres, are you there?
Yes, sir. Did I clear my Mesa knockout zone?
All right, buddy. So here's the deal. Today you get the mystery category because
no choice.
No choice today. I can't know the rest of the category. So I said, Paulie, give me a generic one.
We'll just
one
pick today. One and we're sticking with it.
So this is how the mystery category works. The one word title of the 2 second song will then appear in each of the other 4 song titles. Are you ready, Andres?
Hit it.
All right, if you don't know, pass and come back to it. Here we go. Paulie, 2 second song.
It might seem crazy. Happy Pharrell.
Correct. The first a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard charts was which 1988 feel good anthem by Bobby McFerrin?
Yep. Be happy.
Yeah, close.
You have more to
it's
it?
Close. You have more to it?
Don't worry, be happy.
Nailed it. All right, Garbage asked to Pour Your Misery Down in which 1995 grunge classic?
Don't worry about a thing, my dog. Next pass.
Okay, the B-52's Kate Pearson provided guest vocals for which 1990 R.E.M. song that hit all the positive notes?
Shiny Happy People.
Correct. Imagine Me and You, I Do, is the first line of which classic 1967 song by the Turtles?
Happy Together?
Nailed it. There you go. Wow. Very well done, my friend. That is...
Do you still have...
That's it.
We ran out of time.
You got 4 correct. Should I tell him the one he missed?
Yeah, you can go through all the answers.
The one you missed was Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage. So we'll see.
You got Happy by Pharrell Williams. You got Don't Worry, Be Happy, Shiny Happy People, and Happy Together.
All right, so we'll see how John from KSON does as we try to beat Andres. I like that score, though.
That's a good score.
That's a very, very good score.
There's Johnny.
Johnny, good morning,
you're
buddy.
Sit right over there. Over there, where the big guy sits.
All right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you're in the big dog's chair. All right. So we have the mystery category. All right. So
okay.
The one word title of the 2 second song will then appear in each of the other 4 song titles. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
If you get the mystery category, the first question, it's going to kind of set the tone.
Okay. Yeah, sets all the right. tone all right. for you.
Okay. All right. So if you don't get the first one,
Paulie, when you're ready, all hit right. it.
Happy Pharrell.
Oh, my God. Wow. The first a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard charts.
Don't Worry, Be Happy. Oh Bobby McFerrin?
Yep. Garbage asked to Pour Your Misery Down in which 1995 grunge classic?
I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
Yep. B-52's Kate Pearson provided guest vocals for which 1990 R.E.M. song that hit all the positive notes?
Shiny Happy People.
Imagine Me and You, I Do, is the first line.
Happy
of which,
Together.
Oh, my God. He just crushed it. 5-4 victory.
Ooh.
Andres came through
Andres,
today.
Nice
I
job,
know.
Pal.
Very nice job, Andres, but I'm sorry. John is as good as I am at this game. That was very well done.
Well, that's an argument there, I'd say.
Well, I mean, I'm better, but I'd say I'm a little bit better.
So we have...
All right, well, here's the thing. Woodsy's got, like, the overall... He's got the record, like the 900 winning percentage.
Well, I won the tournament, too, against him head-to-head.
But I won the comeback tournament during March Madness.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
Correctly.
At Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, I wasted you.
Yeah, you smoked me that
we've
day.
Got,
damn it.
We got to have a... rubber match.
We do. We do need a rubber match.
That Christmas special show that you guys do, first of all, is brilliant. Second of all, that to this day, I'll never live that down. I've got more fans from you guys than my own show down the hall.
That's crazy, man. That's because you crushed that.
I choked.
No, yeah, I don't think you did.
I was crushing you.
Yeah,
in fact, Big Frank was here working the board, sent me a text saying, you just crushed Woods as I'm getting beaten by you, as you came back.
I don't win a lot, man. No. That felt good to
savor
win that
the flavor,
day.
Baby. Good for you.
Thank you, man. How's everything down in KSON's
it's
world?
It's as cold as it is in this studio.
It's freezing.
Are we storing meat?
I don't
what
know.
Is happening? Have we not paid a bill?
Is your guys' studio the same? It's either you're sweating and pulling clothes off or freezing cold. There's no in between.
Our time of morning, always, literally, you can almost see your breath.
Yeah.
I have to go out into my car and sit. I do not recommend anybody doing this.
Thaw out.
But sit in the closed window in the summer, just so I can stop shivering. And I'm not a guy that gets cold all the time. I'm not at all.
I'm Look the same way.
Anyway.
I'm the same way. Well, good to have you, dude.
You used to be from Minnesota.
Right.
What happened,
what happened Chicago,
to you?
I'm going back there in a couple of weeks. My friends love busting my balls.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm so soft. I was never really talking before I left.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, if it's, I walk outside, if it's 90 with 98% humidity, I'll be being about it all day.
Oh, I know. I know.
How do you do this? Same thing in the winter. They just look at me like, you are such a pansy.
We played ball yesterday. It was like 83 in Escondido. Me and Paulie, I was like, I'm done. I'm roasty. I can't even walk to my car.
Us coast kids.
I know.
We're so soft.
Thank you, Johnny, for filling in today. Ben will be back tomorrow. We will get back to the regular schedule take on Woods, but that was a really impressive performance. I mean, again, Anders, 4 out of 5 is really, really good. John came
that
in.
Wins most games.
100%.
4 out of 5.
And when he said happy birthday, I mean, it was one note and he nailed it.
It's just a dun.
Yeah, that's all he needed.
Happy birthday. He knew exactly where he was going.
Now, we got Dennis Lynn coming up on the program next, and he has just dropped a piece in The Athletic that I wanted to talk about. Obviously, what we're all going to be watching is what A.J. Preller and the team really does in the next couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline. But we have not mentioned yet that the MLB draft was yesterday as well. And the San Diego Padres with the 25th overall pick in the draft picked the kid that Ben was talking about last week. 6'8" left-hander Cruz Schoolcraft. He's out of Sunset High School in Portland,
Tall
Oregon.
Tall drink of water.
He is a big old boy. The 9th straight year, the Padres have taken a high school player with the first round pick and the 4th time that they've gone with a lefty starter. You may remember some of those guys like Mackenzie Gore, like Ryan Weathers, and now they've got Cruz Schoolcraft. And so the original thought, Paulie, was that, hey man, he kind of wants to be a two-way player. Well, the Padres on their Zoom call last night,
we got our own Shohei Ohtani.
They went ahead and squashed that ASAP. Now he is expected to sign with the San Diego Padres, which is great. You know, excited about him in 4 years or 3 years or whatever. But Chris Kemp, who's scouting director, said he understands his fastest route to the big leagues will be as a pitcher only. So we'll be going that route. And then Cruz said, obviously, I'd like to hit as long as I can, but I want to be a big leaguer as long as I can and as fast as I can. Whatever I can do to get there, that's the path I'll take. And I think it speaks to the fact, Paulie, that like, I just don't know when you're going to see the next real Shohei Ohtani. Like, you would have to be such a freak. And I honestly think it would have to come internationally. I don't think it will come from a draft pick. I don't. I don't think somebody that's going to draft a guy that they is a part of their rotation in 5 years and say, yeah, we'll let you hit two. It's just hard to develop somebody, especially a high schooler.
That would be weird if the game starts turning that direction.
I mean, it's such a copycat
because all of these guys, like, I promise you, all of these guys were two-way players in high school.
100%, you know, dude. Paul Skeens was a shortstop. Like, they all were shortstops, you know?
Hitting cleanup.
Yeah, they were the
best player on their team.
And then at some point, they realized, this is how I can get to the big leagues and make a fortune doing it. So excited about that draft pick for the Padres. It was so weird to hear somebody, the one guy we talked about, actually fell to the Padres, and they got him. So what we decided to, when Ben gets back tomorrow, we're probably going to have one of the guys from Mad Friars on so we can get info about all the draft picks. The draft is continuing today, so we'll get to that. We'll talk to Dennis Lynn maybe a little bit about that, but mostly about the trade deadline in the first half coming up next right here on Ben and Woods.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Still got a Rondo report coming up later in the hour. We're going to do Don't Do This. We had to push it back because we had Craig Elston and Darnay Tripp on. And about to be joined by our pal Dennis Lynn from The Athletic after a quick check of traffic right here on Ben and Woods.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
And joining us now is our pal Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. And the weekend that was for the San Diego Padres was pretty darn good, Dennis Lynn, taking 2 out of 3 from the Philadelphia Phillies and beating a couple of their best pitchers, man, and almost beating their should-be all-star Christopher Sanchez as well yesterday. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. Yeah. First series win over a winning team, well, currently winning team in over a month. So if you can close the first half on a note like that, I think that the Padres should take it, considering what they just kind of went through the past 2 months. So, yeah, if you're asking which direction the Padres are trending, I would say they're trending up. But, yeah, they clearly have a lot of things to get done between now and, September.
You know, and I hate this adage that always rears its head around the trade deadline, Dennis, is, well, I mean, if Jackson Merrill is hitting, you know, the continues to do what he did the last couple of games, it's like getting a new piece at the deadline when you're guys you already have. That may be true in some cases. I don't think that's the case for the San Diego Padres. You wrote a piece in The Athletic this morning. Recommend everybody going to check that out about, you know, how it kind of looms out there that AJ Preller probably needs to get pretty aggressive here at the deadline.
I think he is going to be aggressive no matter what. So I don't know if he has to. I think that's just his natural state. So that we'll see like how much he can get done. He clearly has some constraints that he maybe didn't have the past few years. He's around the second CBT threshold. Not that, you know, anyone really cares about that, but I'm sure ownership does and doesn't have as many prospects as he once did. And he has maybe more needs than he usually does this time of year, but you know, he's as creative as any GM in the game, and you know, he's not going to stop calling these teams who at some point maybe he wears them down. But I think just looking at just the overall picture of where this team is, they're 8 games over 500. If they just had league average offense from like the bottom two spots in the lineup, you just kind of wonder what they'd be like. I don't know, 18 games over 500,
right?
Maybe a little bit of a stretch, but not that bit of a stretch when you look at what's out there. The league's not great. I don't know if people have realized that. There's no real super team out there. The Dodgers are clearly pretty vulnerable, and there is basically just a lot of opportunity for the Padres right now, it feels like, especially because there might not be in years to come. I mean, Manny Machado's still playing like a Hall of Famer at age 33, but he and Xander Bogaerts are not getting any younger, and you know, they've gotten this really great pitching season from Nick Pivetta. It won't be here, you know, probably beyond next year. So they got to probably seize the opportunity while they can. So that's probably what AJ is thinking.
Talking to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic this morning, I think it's a big trade deadline, not only for AJ Preller, obviously for Padres fans reinforcing the team. I think it's a big trade deadline for the new ownership group or the new old ownership group or however you want to couch it, Dennis, because, again, you can't look at this if you're them and say, well, I mean, if I could get anybody to come watch this team, maybe I'd spend, you know, more money on it. That's not the case. Padres fans are rabid. They are showing no signs of decreasing their rabidity, if that's even a word. But they are showing up to the ballpark every night, hungry and desperate for a winner. I think there's a lot of pressure on ownership this trade deadline as well to prove and show everybody, yeah, we'll spend it. We'll do what we need to do to be a real World Series contender.
Yeah, rabidity, if that's a word, is a good word.
Thank you.
I was just looking at this yesterday. No, you're welcome. I think you should throw that at Jesse Adler for his next.
I will, actually. That's a rabidity. I'm going to look that up as well.
Jesse would be like, that's not a word.
Yeah, I didn't think alibi was ever a verb until last couple of years. And I looked it up. It's actually a verb.
It is a verb. He crushed it. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's a baseball guy.
He is.
You know, baseball terms tend to make their way into everyday conversations these days, I guess. But anyway, I looked this up yesterday. They're on pace, the Padres are, for like 3.4 to 3 million fans, something in that neighborhood, you know, just home attendance at Petco this year, which is, I mean, it would be insane if you didn't, if you took out what they've done the last few years with attendance, but that still would be a Petco record. And yeah, these fans are really hungry for a winner, like a real winner, in the playoffs. So I think it's a big opportunity for ownership, and we still don't really know what they're all about. They're not nearly as talkative as Peter Seidler and Ron Fowler were, so a lot to learn about them still. But I think everything, the indications are that they want to keep things you know, pretty status quo to what they were the last couple of years. Which is, you know, a competitive product and, you know, a lot of fans at the ballpark.
Well, and you know what, man? Some of the names that you've mentioned in your piece, obviously no new names, right? Not breaking much news with the Jaron Duran interest. Looking at what the Red Sox have done since trading Devers, they've just won 10 in a row. Rafaela, Marcelo Mayer, Roman Anthony, I mean, they tapped into the youth movement, and so far, so good for them. Garrett Crochet with one of the most unbelievable performances the other day. You know, like, they're winning right now. Would it make sense for them to get rid of Duran? And I know there's a log jam. I know there's, you know, ABs that need to be doled out. Baseball usually finds a way of, you know, a guy will get hurt or he'll go into a little slump, and hey, we got Jaron Duran. And so I don't know why they would necessarily trade him, Dennis. And also some of the names being mentioned, like Sean Murphy, is it an upgrade? Yeah. Is it a very expensive upgrade? Yes. All remain the case. And anybody else under the radar that you know of that AJ Preller may be looking at?
Well, it's mentioned in the piece, and I understand if people glossed over it because it's not a huge name, and it is actually a local name, Escondido native Corey Lee with the White Sox. He's a guy that I understand the Padres have had interest in for a while, going back, you know, probably before this year. He would not probably be a starting catcher on a playoff team, but I mean, just looking at what the Padres have at that position right now, they could maybe, if they want to go drastic, swap out two catchers at the break. I don't think they'll do that, just because the pitching staff has been really good. But just another name to consider. I wouldn't say it's likely by any means, but you know, it's AJ, and he's probably looking at, you know, 20,000 names right now. But that's one of them. So that's kind of interesting, I guess. Club first catcher who has hit a little bit in the past and would probably be an upgrade on both sides of the ball, maybe just incrementally, but probably wouldn't come very expensive. So yeah, Sean Murphy, I don't think he's going to be moved this month. I could be proven very wrong the next few days or a couple weeks. And Duran, yeah, it's interesting. They're like you said, they're on the rail, the Red Sox, and maybe that they don't want to, you know, mess up the vibes. I've had people with the Padres say, yeah, like maybe, yeah, that happened, especially after trading away Devers. And even though that's looking like a kind of a smart trade in the early going for Boston, they don't want to, you know, further incense that fan base. But it all depends, I think, on how they feel about Jaron Duran. And they're clearly willing to set aside what the fan base thinks about certain players. So
clearly, yeah.
I think, yeah, I think there's still a chance there for the Padres.
Talking to Dennis Lynn this morning on Ben and Woods. Dennis, you know, rather than always asking you just like what players do you think could be on their way to San Diego in a trade, we're kind of looking more at positions. We were talking about it earlier, like maybe all the positions of need. You need some offensive help with some slug. You need some bench pieces. You need a left fielder. You need to upgrade the catching position, maybe add a bullpen arm. But if you only hit like two or three of those, you can live with some of the other areas of need right now. Whether it's you get a big bat, maybe you go out and get a left fielder, and then you live with the Diaz-Maldonado combo behind the plate or vice versa. Like what areas on the roster do you think are most important for AJ Preller to address?
Right, that's a good point. It's because it's never going to be perfect, right? Like none of these other contenders are. I mean, even the Tigers who are leading the AL really need starting pitching, and who knows how much they'll get that addressed by next month. But if I had to choose for the Padres, I'd say catcher has kind of maybe edged its way right up there with left field, maybe even surpassed it, just because it's such a, you know, such a tough position to fill. And if you can somehow get a league average offense from that position and a good defender behind that plate, that might be an even bigger edge than, you know, getting someone in left field to get, you know, Gavin Sheets off his feet more. And that's, you know, obviously an easier position to fill cost-wise, on paper at least. I mean, Jaren Duran's probably, he would not come cheap if he gets moved this month. But I think catcher might be number one for me now, just based on the way, you know, the offense has gone all season. And I think if you can get someone in there who's preferably, you know, maybe got a little more pop than someone like Corey Lee, I think that would be a huge upgrade for the Padres going into the second half.
And I'm just reading the tea leaves, as Ben likes to say. I'll say that in his honor since he's not here today. Reading the tea leaves, though, Dennis, I think, you know, and I may be speaking out of school here, but I honestly think the hardest part of adding a new catcher to the roster isn't actually finding or paying the catcher. It's convincing the skipper, Mike Schilt, to tell one of those guys, don't need you anymore, right? Because the glowing, and by tea leaves, I mean, I've asked him. He's talked about it.
He must hate the trade deadline more than any other manager in baseball. Because
he loves
those are his guys.
Those are his guys, right? And so I think this is probably like a dilemma for him, to where I still hear him talking about value of the things that we don't see. And is he right? Yeah, he is, because he's the manager, Dennis, and we're not. But I honestly think, like, the biggest hurdle isn't finding a catcher. It's convincing Schilty, like, I know that you love Maldi or Diaz or whoever one is more in his favor. I don't know that the answer to that question, but I think it's going to be, hey, man, now we got to get them up to speed with our pitchers, and look how good they've done, and blah, 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 blah. I just wonder if Schilty's going to be the toughest hurdle to climb there.
I tend to agree, but I also think if you put the three of us on the roster somehow for whatever reason, yeah, I think you would say nice things about us in public and behind closed doors.
You and Paulie. Well, no, actually, I'd say just Paulie, Dennis. Me and you would probably be in the doghouse, right? To be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. He would be big on Paul, but
he would love Paul. Oh my God, the glue guy. Oh my God, look at Paulie, what he brings, the intangibles. I couldn't agree more. I'm not even saying, Dennis, that's the wrong approach, because that's a guy you want to play for. A guy that's going to have your back, you know, period, the end. But I know he wants to win. You know, he told us the other day when we interviewed him, he's like, I don't want to help Dave Roberts manage the All-Star game. I want to manage the All-Star game, meaning he just went to the World Series. So I think if it's in the cards, you can't be you can't be short-sighted enough to look at it and say, yeah, we could use some some help at this position.
Oh yeah, he's not alone in this, right? Because the last couple managers, you know, weren't huge on Luis Camposano behind the plate either. But yeah, I think maybe it's also just a matter of just how more strongly he and the coaching staff would prefer, you know, having Maldonado and Diaz over Camposano behind the plate.
Yeah.
And at this point, maybe it's hard to argue that, because Camposano just hasn't really done much with his, you know, repeated opportunities at the big league level. But yeah, if he gets a catcher in there that, you know, hits over 200 and can, you know, frame some pitches, block some pitches, throw out some runners, do a little bit of everything, you know, just a little bit better than the current two they have. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be singing that guy's praises, whoever it is. And let's remember that the Padres have done this before, before Mike Schilt. They brought in catchers midseason, yep, in 2020, and especially. And that worked out okay, at least that summer. So it's not an easy thing to do in general, bring in a catcher midseason, especially with how well this pitching staff has performed. But I think Ruben Niebla and some of the veterans they have on the mound, they're equipped to do that if it comes to that.
Well, you're the man, dude. Enjoy your break, Dennis. And I look forward to, the next few weeks are going to be crazy. I mean, it's crazy in San Diego every year. You know, enjoy your break, get some downtime, and we will talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Chris. I look forward to that.
Thanks, brother. Dennis Lynn from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods. And yeah, I we were talking about it in the dugout yesterday of he just has a lot of trust in his guys. He does. He's said it, to us before. He said it. Except for Tyler Wade. I don't know what happened to T. Wade. But Tyler says, I think some of it's just eyewash. He's got to be waiting for the day he can pencil in better bats.
I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that.
Tyler, you would think that it's eyewash. You would. But I just know it to be different. I know it to be different, and I know that...
Like, if you injected him with true serum, you would expect him to be like, yeah, we got to upgrade our catcher position.
I think in his mind...
He might be the one guy that's like, no, I love what we got out of the catcher position.
I honestly think in his mind, if we upgrade in other areas, great, but I'm rolling with these guys. So I'd say, I'd say brace yourself. But if you upgrade in two other places, then that nine-hole hitter, you live with it. So... Oh, man. Great stuff from Dennis Lynn. Great stuff all morning. Got 3 hours down, 1 hour to go. Got a Rondo report. We got Don't Do This. What is everyone so up in arms about the Mizorowski kid? Talk about that. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.